This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Thursday, October the 18th. I'm Angela Denning. Governor Bill Walker apologized today to Alaska Natives for the wrongs that they have endured. Walker made the apology during the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage.
As the 11th governor of the state of Alaska, I apologize to you, Alaska's First People, for the wrongs that you have endured for generations. For being forced into boarding schools, I apologize. For forced to abandon your native language and adopt a foreign one, I apologize. For erasing your history, I apologize. For the generational and historical trauma you have suffered, I apologize. This apology is long overdue. It is but one step in hundreds more to go on this journey towards truth, reconciliation, and healing.
Governor Walker also thanked the Federation for embracing him during his term as governor. Democratic candidate for Alaska Governor Mark Begich yesterday said that, like many Alaskans, he was surprised by Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott's abrupt resignation and withdrawal from the campaign.
Change the dynamics for sure in the election here, and how and what that means is still not clear. I think a lot of people are waiting to hear what the governor is going to do or not do. In the meantime, we're here today. We're going to continue to campaign.
Begich was speaking in Ketchikan while attending the Alaska Native Brotherhood, Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand Camp Convention. That event kicked off yesterday. Governor Walker, who is running for re-election, accepted Mallott's resignation on Tuesday, citing inappropriate comments that the lieutenant governor recently made to a woman. Mallott admitted to making the comments and has apologized. Walker on Tuesday also talked about ongoing discussions with Begich's campaign about a path forward to defeating Republican candidate Mike Dunleavy. Walker did not get into details about those discussions. Begich confirms there has been talks. He, too, did not reveal any firm plans. The main point of any path forward, Begich says, would be to keep Dunleavy from becoming governor, which he says would be a disaster.
A lot of dynamics have changed in the last 24 hours. And the question now really is the viability of campaigns. And we've always believed we have a strong campaign. We have a great network. We have people all across the state. We usually are in second in the polls when in a three-way race, even though we've spent the least amount of money.
Begich says combining his campaign with Walker's is not likely because ballots have already been printed. He did not answer a suggestion of one candidate withdrawing in favor of the other, but he said the next few days will, quote, be very enlightening, end quote, for those watching Alaska's gubernatorial race. The 2018 fall moose hunt in Unit 3 near Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake picked up in the second half of the season. The hunt wrapped up on Monday, and 105 moose were reportedly killed. That's less than last year's record harvest of 117 bulls, but in line with harvests over the last 4 years. 13 of the 105 moose were illegally killed, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Petersburg. They were located all over the hunt area, with the most coming from the Stikeen River. Fish and Game says 17 bulls total have been harvested on the Stikeen. 31 were harvested in the Cake area. 17 bulls have come from other areas on Kuprinoff Island. Hunters took 12 on Mitkoff Island, 12 on Kuyu Island, 5 in Thomas Bay on the mainland north of Petersburg, 3 on Wrangell Island, 3 at Farragut Bay, 1 on Wawatski Island, 1 on Zarembo Island, and 3 from other mainland areas. Hunters have 5 days to report their harvest to Fish and Game, so the final total could still increase a little bit. The month-long season ran September 15th to October 15th. Hunters are required to turn in their hunt report cards whether they caught a moose or not. State managers rely on harvest data to gauge how the population is doing in Unit 3. They cannot do surveys because the area is too forested to see moose from the air. The last moose study was done in 1984 on the Stikeen River. Petersburg High School's wrestling team opened up their season at home last weekend, hosting teams from around Southeast. Wrestlers paired off in a round-robin-style competition Friday and Saturday. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Coach Dan Van Swearingen about the first matches of the new season.
It was definitely the first meet. We had some rust, and we got kind of a young team. But overall, it wasn't bad. We got, you know, it's usually good. The first tournament's usually good for seeing what you really need to work on. And it was pretty apparent on Friday, Saturday. we got a lot of things to cover in the room, so it's good. We got 2 weeks till the next one. We're going to get busy.
Got some time to work on those things. Individually, what did you see? Standout performances, exciting matches?
Yeah, there were some really good ones. You know, we got quite a few matches, and that was kind of the idea of the tournament, is we just pitched everybody together, tried to get as many matches as we possibly could. And we had some guys that left the weekend with zero wins and a couple losses, but we had quite a few on the team that did really well. So a couple of the good standouts, we had Ruby Masson, sophomore. She was 5-1, and the girl that she lost to, she just made one little mistake, and then she ended up beating her later on. I think she actually beat her twice later on in the tournament. So she did really well. And then Adam Ware did well at 160 pounds. He was 5-1 as well, and he lost to a pretty tough kid from Wrangell. So no, I'm sorry, he lost to Cole. He lost to Cole Sproul, so he's on our team too. So yeah, that was his only loss the weekend, was wrestling Cole. And the Sproul brothers, Cole and Corin, really did well. Corin, he was 5-2. He lost the same guy from Craig twice, but it's kind of one of those things. If you want to be the toughest, you got to wrestle the toughest, and we put him up against him twice. He was a region champ last year, the kid from Craig, and they were tough matches, but they were good. We learned a lot from them. And Cole, he wrestled tough, and he's tough, and he's strong, and he's gained a lot since last year, but he was a little rusty, just like everybody was, and he lost to two for a kid from Wrangell as well. So it was good. We had a lot of good performances, but we had some tough ones too. Another good guy this weekend who wrestled really well, who I'd never seen before. He's a new freshman. His name's Caden. He was 4-2, and one of his losses was to a 145-pound kid from Mount Edgecombe, who was a region champ last year, and he's going to end up wrestling for us for 135 pounds. So he's given up quite a bit of weight and a tough kid, and it was still a pretty good match. So
Caden, I think, is it Guler or Guller? Or?
It's Guler or Gulan or... it depends on who you talk to.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's... he's good. He's tough, and He made a couple mistakes in one match, and from a kid from Ketchikan, who he beat pretty soundly the first time, and then he made one tough mistake. And Ketchikan kids are technical, and the coach is really good, and he knew exactly what he was going to do, and he did that, and the Ketchikan kid capitalized on it. So, but again, he was giving up 5 pounds, so he was wrestling at 140 pounds, and he probably will end up going down to 135 for us. So, should be pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, a couple of those matches I saw Saturday night, the Vikings would be in a position where they looked like they were actually going to move in for a pin or something like that, but then would just get flipped and be on the other side of it. So.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's, we were in lots, we had a lot of opportunity to really stick it to them, and it was just one thing didn't go, or we got out of position just a little bit, and then we were the ones on our back, and we were in trouble. So one of the things we definitely can work on is fighting off our back. Because when we got on our back, it was pretty tough, and we got pinned when we got on our back, which I'd like to see us fight off a little bit better. And we, like I said, we got 2 weeks to really work on bridging and getting a little bit better shape. And but overall, it was a great weekend. Had lots of fun. I got to see a lot of faces. The kids got to see a lot of faces they hadn't seen in a long time. So it was a good weekend.
The wrestling team is not wrestling this weekend, and next goes to Ketchikan at the end of the month. The Vikings are fundraising Saturday, selling firewood in the parking lot behind the community pool, starting at 12:30. Running a small town can be tricky. Everyone knows everyone, and conflicts of interest easily arise as people move from public service to public employment and back again. As KSTK's June Loeffler reports, Wrangell City Manager's recent decision to hire a city assembly member raised some eyebrows.
Roland Howe was recently tapped to be the Director of Public Works. The job pays $80,000 a year and has good benefits. When Howe applied, he was an elected member of the assembly. What does that mean? Well, the city manager hires senior city employees, and she serves at the will of the assembly. Imagine being interviewed by one of your employees for a job where they'd be your boss. City Manager Lisa Von Bargen understands the weird optics, but she checked with the city's attorney.
And there was nothing that precluded him as a seated assembly member at that time from applying.
Those in the know say this type of thing happens all the time.
When it comes especially to small communities across Alaska, we have community members who are wearing multiple hats.
Niels Andreasen is the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League, which advises local governments on sticky issues like these.
I think a good best practice is to be just upfront about what that conflict of interest is. And
the matter didn't stick right with one assembly member. David Powell voted against the deal.
I consider Mr. Howell a friend, but this is not about him being a friend or him about getting this job. This is about our code.
So what does Rangel's code say? An elected official can take a city job if he or she receives a waiver from the assembly and then resigns. That's what happened. The vote was 4-1 with only Powell against it. Local governments like Rangel write their own rules. They can be just as strict or relaxed as they want. That's because Alaska is a home rule state where the state has little influence on how a city governs itself. In fact, until this year, Rangel's rule was a lot stricter. Assembly member Julie Decker explains.
We've had multiple occasions where good assembly members had to step down from serving on the assembly because their grandson wanted to work at the movie theater, a part-time job, or their daughter wanted to be a lifeguard at the pool, where we can't even get enough lifeguards to apply.
But the city's policy against nepotism was loosened after a mayor's son-in-law brought up the issue. He had a job offer with Parks and Recreation that was retracted due to his relationship with the mayor. That's when the assembly changed some rules. Rangel School District made a similar move this year, though with less public scrutiny. Georgiana Bueller served as the school board president. She left her seat to apply for and be hired as the district's business manager. The district says the hire didn't conflict with its own rules, and it seems the city's deal wasn't unusual in a town of plus 2,000 people. Reporting in Rangel, I'm June Loeffler.
Alaska lobbyists have been breaking an anti-corruption law by helping political candidates promote their fundraising events. That's according to a preliminary opinion from the state's campaign finance watchdog. Lobbyist Ashley Reed asked for a formal opinion from the Alaska Public Offices Commission. He wanted to know whether state law allows for lobbyists to email copies of invitations to fundraisers for political candidates. State law bans lobbyists from engaging in fundraising activity, but as Alaska Public Media reported last week, Reed and another influential lobbyist, Jerry Mackey, have still been sending copies of invitations to their clients and friends. On Monday, the commission staff issued a 3-page draft opinion. It addresses Reed's question about whether he can send invitations to fundraisers. And the short answer is no, because that's engaging in fundraising activity, which the law bars lobbyists from doing. The opinion is still a draft. It has to be approved by the commission's politically appointed leaders at their next meeting, which is in January. Reed declined to speak on tape, but he says he's waiting for the commission's ruling and doesn't want to fight about it in the media. Among the candidates who benefited from the emails from Reed and Mackey are Governor Bill Walker and House Speaker Bryce Edgman. In earlier interviews, the lobbyist cited a section of the law that allows lobbyists to personally advocate on behalf of a candidate. Lobbyists also said they had informal approval to send the emails after talking with an employee of the Public Offices Commission. KFSK has an open airwaves policy. This station encourages the public to use KFSK for the expression of personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. These opinions are available on our website, kfsk.org, following the scheduled radio broadcast. The following was submitted for broadcast by Dr. Bob Hunter of Sitka.
Hello. I'm Dr. Bob Hunter, and I'm a physician in Sitka now 39 years, and I know Dr. Richard Wayne and Jonathan Christ Tompkins well. Civility and an even temperament are important attributes in our elected officials. Jonathan Christ Tompkins is the obvious choice for our state House of Representatives. We need public leaders who can work well with others. Christ Tompkins works effectively within and across party lines. He is a man of intelligence who is open to good ideas from others, no matter their party or affiliation. He will continue to do whatever it takes to maintain and improve the lives of his constituents. Christ Tompkins is energetic, accessible, and a person of integrity. I know both candidates well, and Christ Tompkins is my clear choice in this upcoming election. Thank you for your consideration. This is Dr. Bob Hunter in Sitka.
KFSK encourages the on-air public expression of opinions, ideas, and creative works. For information, please call Tom Abbott at 772-3808. KFSK will not air commentaries related to an election on Election Day. This year's general election will be held on Tuesday, November the 6th. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.